You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, on Facebook, on YouTube, by podcast. Pleasure to have you here to get this Tuesday underway. I got a question for you. Is Sean Duffy on duty after that near mid-air collision involving a passenger flight and a B-52 bomber, something like that? Look, I'm not expecting Sean Duffy to be in every control tower, but maybe before going after things like DEI and criticizing New York City's, you know, rush hour congestion traffic program, maybe focus on the core aspects of your job. And putting up a social media post every couple of days saying, hey, we're looking for air traffic controllers, it's a great job. Maybe you need to do a little bit more than that. We'll talk about that close call coming up in just a little bit. But first, I mean, Roger puts it so well in the comment section of Facebook. Simply says, how about your first place, Milwaukee Brewers? How about that, producer Parker Olson, down in Madison A2? Your first place, Milwaukee Brewers.
I like the sound of that, Pat. That's a good. Like, I could get used to that.
We haven't said that since, I think, is it April 11th, something like that. So
were we in first place at all this year?
We were for a little bit. Yep. Okay. First things started really not good, and then things were really good for a short time. Believe it or not, after winning 11 in a row by beating Seattle last night. That is still not the longest streak in the majors, but just a couple more to go for that. Only one more to go for those George Webb hamburgers.
That's what we all care about. That's the only thing that matters.
I can honestly say, having lived in Milwaukee for 4 years, back in the late 80s, I think I only went to a George Webb restaurant, you know, maybe twice.
I've never been. And if they
hadn't been for their, you know, decades long, you know, promise to give out free hamburgers if the Brewers ever win 12 in a row, I don't know that I would have heard of them at all. But they certainly found the right way to get attention when the Brewers get on a winning streak. So
it's a good way to do it.
Yeah, good for them if that's what gets the job done. Coming up on the program today, we are going to be visiting in just a little bit here with Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom. And Cam is currently our Arizona editor of the Copper Courier. He's relocating to Washington, D.C., and will become our Capitol Hill correspondent after the congressional recess. The August recess starts at the end of this week. So Cam's going to give us an idea of where the things are in the Capitol this week. Chaos comes to mind. And then Congress will take a break. He'll take a break, pack everything in a moving van, and then join us after Labor Day to become our regular Tuesday morning correspondent out of the nation's capital. So we'll talk about his daily newsletter as well. It's called Below the Beltway. You can get it through Courier Newsroom at couriernewsroom.com. And his latest edition talks about the ongoing efforts to sane-wash Donald Trump's friendship with Jeffrey Epstein, and to also show us how residents in some communities are trying to basically shame local law enforcement into not becoming a branch office of Donald Trump's masked secret police force. So we've got that to cover with Cam Stevenson this hour. In our next hour, we will talk about some of the groups that know that they're not in power right now, but they can call attention to what people in power are doing, specifically Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill and the state budget and things like that. So we've got a couple of different stories from around Wisconsin of how people are calling attention to the things that are going to, frankly, harm them because of recent actions in the nation's capital. Let's see. We'll also talk to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau about the stories he's following there. And then there's Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Wisconsin politics is in a holding pattern this week. I mean, from legislators to political journalists like Dan Schaefer, everyone is waiting on Governor Tony Evers to announce whether he'll seek a third term in 2026 or retire and open up a sprawling Democratic primary to potentially succeed him. We don't know. And he's given no indication one way or the other. It literally could go either way at this point. Every so often, the rumor mill fires up and people say they've just heard that he's going to say he's running, or they just heard from a credible source he's going to say he's not running. We don't know. We don't know. That's where things are right now. We don't know. And we're waiting to find out, because it is going to lead to a lot of coverage, either about what does it mean that he's running, or who's going to run on the Democratic side if he's not. We know there are two candidates so far on the Republican side, and I say quite confidently that there will be more Republican more Republican candidates running for governor. So we have a lot of work ahead of us, but of the candidates announced right now, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and also businessman Bill Berrien, it's Bill Berrien who is running ads already, a $400,000 ad buy. And in our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics, we ask, what do you think of that? If a candidate, an unknown candidate, is running ads this early, is it a turnoff, or is it understandable? Because, you don't like ads, but you got to build your name ID somehow. Or do you even like it? Do you like it because you see, here's somebody who's ambitious, who's a go-getter, wants to get out of the gates early? Well, where do you come down on this? Getting a lot of answers, a lot of feedback from you, and understandably, a lot of them are going with option A. They think it's a huge turnoff. But it's far from unanimous. There are plenty of people that are choosing option B, saying, I don't like political ads, but I get it. And I can tell you, so many of those answers are tagged out with, regardless, these campaigns last way too long. And people would like to see some kind of restriction on election season, which would be tough to do. People, potential candidates would still claim a First Amendment right to run ads, et cetera, et cetera. But a lot of people sure do admire countries like Canada, the UK, and others, where the campaign season is designed to be especially short, like 2 months from the time elections are announced until people vote. In fact, I had a good long chat yesterday with a service guy who was here to work on one of the appliances, and tells me that he listens to a lot of conservative talk radio around the state, and the conversations that I have with folks, they often go like this. Can't we get along? Most people are in the center, either a little bit center left or a little bit center right. And yet he and I both noted that we know of people who have drifted, further to the right or further to the left. But the general public, by and large, just wants us to get together. And if we had shorter campaign seasons where we could just focus on the issues and not spend a year or more in knockdown, drag out, marathon contests of personal attacks, maybe we'd be better off with that shorter campaign season. So you can see why we're getting some good responses to our question of the week. It's in our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right, well, let's get back to the Brewers here, Cam, because I didn't get to see the game. It was out on the West Coast last night in Seattle. But I do know that Brandon Woodruff was going to be pitching, and pitch he did. He went 6 innings, throwing only 62 pitches, walking nobody, giving up just 2 singles, and your first-place Milwaukee Brewers won their 11th straight 6-0 over the Mariners. For Woodruff, it was only his third start of the season. After missing all of 2024 because of surgery on his pitching shoulder in late 2023. Apparently, though, and this is where I'm glad I didn't stay awake for this one, I love a good pitcher's duel, unless it's like way past my bedtime. You know, then I want to see a couple of grand slams, and then I can go to bed, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, Seattle's George Kirby carried a no-hitter against the Brewers into the sixth inning. But the Brewers then tagged Kirby for four runs after sending eight men to the plate. So the Brewers are now two victories away from tying the Twins for the longest win streak this season. Minnesota won 13 straight in the month of May. But we are now 100 games into the season, and the Brewers have won 60. They are 60 and 40, 100 games into the season. First time in team history.
That's unreal. 20
games above 500. And by the way, they are doing it with a very different roster than the one that won the division last year. Willie Adames, gone. San Francisco. Corbin Burns, gone. Now with Arizona. Devin Williams, gone. Now with the New York Yankees. And on it goes. And yet Pat Murphy's taken this crew. And look what he's got now. Tonight's pitcher, a young man named Jacob Mizorowski.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You look at this team and it almost feels like somehow, without any of the name recognition, it feels like the Cardinals or the Yankees or the Dodgers. It feels like a team that you look at the batting lineup and you go, oh, God, that guy's going to be really hard to get past. Oh, that guy's going to be hard. Oh, that guy too? Like, every single guy in that batting lineup right now is just an absolute thorn to get past. And it makes no sense because you don't know who any of them are.
No, and it's a thing that I always love watching the national media. And it's not just Milwaukee. Anytime a smaller market team is doing very well, and you can almost sense in them, part of it is, oh, now I've got to learn all these names.
Right?
How do you spell Mizorowski? You know, some of them are excited about it. They don't want to just cover the same, oh, look, Aaron Judge hit another 600-foot home run. You know, they appreciate the fact that every so often a small market team can make a run like this. But I do enjoy watching Cubs fans try to somehow rationalize all of this.
Cubs fans, can we have a moment, please? Figure it out. Focus on yourselves. Win some games. There's no dark magic going. Mark Ananasio said he wants to provide a summer of fun and entertainment. He said nothing about a World Series championship. So we're having fun. This is entertaining. Be entertained.
Yes, I am. I am, and we are. So here's where things go with the Brewers from here. One more night game in Seattle, and then there is a day game ahead. Tonight's game is at 8:05. Pre-game coverage begins on several Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. And then tomorrow afternoon, they'll wrap up things in Seattle. Tomorrow afternoon, 2:05 is when the pregame will begin. Then Thursday, they're off to come back home for two series. The first one begins Friday against the Florida Marlins. And then the Cubs come to town next week, Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That, boys and girls, is going to be interesting.
You thought that the Mizorowski, like, pitching against the Pirates felt like a playoff atmosphere? Wait until you see what it feels like playing against the Cubs when we're a game within each other.
and again, that's quite likely. And the crowds are going to be raucous. And they're going to be much more evenly balanced than in past seasons. And that is going to feel real good. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where we wonder if Pat can unmute his mic.
Oh, stop it. Here, I got the button right here. Boy, the things I do not to slurp my coffee too loud in your ear during the commercial break here.
Oh, it's so thoughtful.
That's me, just a thoughtful guy. So the story out of North Dakota with that near mid-air collision with a B-52 bomber was that a SkyWest plane had to abort its landing in Minot and make an aggressive maneuver because a B-52 was conducting a flyover of the North Dakota State Fair at the time. That's according to remarks that a passenger made by the, or, I'm sorry, according to remarks the captain made to passengers in the cabin after the flight. This happened back on Friday. An aviation tracker program shows the plane was descending toward Minot, but then climbing, turning right, and flying in a loop before landing. SkyWest did not say how close the two planes had come to each other. Minot is near an Air Force base, as well as the North Dakota State Fair. And the flyover was being done with approval from the Federal Aviation Administration and Minot's Air Traffic Control Tower. But the tower did not advise the inbound commercial aircraft. It did not name SkyWest or the B-52 in its statement, and the Air Force did not respond to inquiries. A passenger on board the plane, Monica Green, said she was sitting near the front of the plane when it swerved harshly to the right near the end of the trip. The turn was so sharp, she found herself looking out the window, not at the sky, but at the cornfields below, she said. And then upon landing, the pilot came into the cabin and told passengers about the military aircraft. He said, "Sorry about the aggressive maneuver. This caught me by surprise. This is not normal at all." The air traffic control tower at the airport does not have radar, the pilot says in the video, but the nearby Air Force base does. And he said, "I don't know why they didn't give us the heads up." From Jim and Brookfield on the text line, when a B-52 bomber crosses the flight path of an active runway in order to do a state fair flyover, something is seriously wrong. The transportation secretary needs to address the issue under no uncertain terms and hold someone accountable. Again, on the text line from Jim in Brookfield. And so, because the Secretary of Transportation happens to be from Wisconsin, Sean Duffy, we do kind of look at that a little bit differently, in part because Sean Duffy has no significant transportation management experience, and in part because a lot of the people who do have either been let go or have quit, resigned, retired, have not been replaced. And with the aviation, air traffic control system, this understaffed and this much under pressure, there is legitimate concern that there could be more incidents like this. And so all we're really asking is that Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy focus on making the necessary repairs, making the necessary hires. And don't just try to keep people who otherwise would retire. Don't try to keep people from their retirement. They have worked decades and have earned it. That's one of the things that really, gets to me is when I hear politicians say, "Well, we just have people, retiring too early." No, we don't. People have earned their retirement. They've set up whatever benefits you laid out for them. And if they're good to go, they're good to go. Maybe rethink the xenophobia that's keeping you from having, a labor force that has been built in this nation for 200 years with people coming from around the world because they want to work here. Maybe address immigration reform rather than trying to just pass tax cuts for the super wealthy. But that's what people are doing now. And in our next hour, we're going to talk about what a couple of different groups are doing to bring attention to that. I also meant to mention earlier that Dan Hagen should be along from Newswatch 12, WJFW TV in Rhinelander, and we'll talk about some of the stories that he is following up in that part of the state. We also have for you a couple of different things from Courier Newsroom that we wanted to tell you about. We spent a little time yesterday talking about the video series, How Is This Better?, with Akilah Hughes, covering everything from politics to entertainment to tech and late-stage capitalism. How Is This Better? Challenges a lot of the grifters controlling our government and our attention and so much of our daily lives. And there is so much to be said in Akilah's newest episode called The Alpha Male Trap, which is all about the way that young men are especially vulnerable to messages about hypermasculinity and what it's doing not only to our politics, not only to our national discourse, but to their health, to their lives, to their relationships or lack thereof. And then the week before, in her series, How Is This Better?, Akilah Hughes looked at women and the whole trad wives trend and what the MAHA, Make America Healthy Again movement is doing. And again, put healthy in quotes when you talk about that. There are a lot of women seeking information on wellness and instead are being fed a steady diet of political rhetoric meant to tell them that, you know, they don't need to work outside the home and that they should have a more traditional role. And what is that again doing to our labor force, to our economy, and to the aspirations of women who are told there's something wrong with them for wanting to have those aspirations? So again, that's from Akilah Hughes, How Is This Better?, a series from Courier Newsroom, and you can either watch it on YouTube or watch or listen on Spotify. You can listen on Apple or you can watch from the Courier Newsroom website, couriernewsroom.com. In just a bit, we're going to be talking to Cam Stevenson, making the move from Arizona to Washington, D.C. to cover all things in the Capitol, in Congress, the White House, and elsewhere for all of us right back here at home, where we are at home, live from Lake Wissota, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next. Little reminder for you that you can reach the show, send us a text through the Civic Media app. You can get that downloaded at all the usual app stores. Call up any of the stations, the 10 of them where you now hear our show across Wisconsin, and use the text feature to send us a note. Or you can record a voice note. Use the voice note button instead and send us a little audio message, and we may play it here on the show as well. Again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more about that. From Scott and Madison on the text line, we were talking earlier about, you know, many people being in the political center. There are some people that are, you know, further to the right, further to the left. Scott and Madison says, as you throw out further to the left, I would sure love a definition of that or an example that matches what further to the right examples could be given. And I don't know that I could give you a matching example because the stuff that is further to the right is concerning. Further to the left, the one that came up most recently for me was hearing about Zoran Mamdani, the candidate for mayor in New York. And there are some people aghast that he wants to make bus fares free. And we, of course, we hear all about Democrats being the party of free stuff. But I can already counter that and tell you, you know, the Staten Island Ferry in New York used to charge. It's now free because they understand the importance of getting commuters to work. And so when I always hear this, you know, the far left wants things for free. Sometimes we forget there are plenty of things that are free already that we don't ask them to pay for themselves. You know, there are no toll roads in Wisconsin. We just go, you know what? We need roads to move people around. And so let's make that free. But let me give some more thought to Scott's point, and we'll get into far left views versus far right views. Here's a guy that's got to deal with all of them coming up with his new gig in Washington, D.C. Cam Stevenson from the Copper Courier in Arizona, at least for a little bit longer, where it's 4:30 in the morning out there, but he's already on East Coast time because of the new gig he's going to be starting covering Capitol Hill for Courier Newsroom. Cam, how are you?
I'm, you know, a little sleepy, but that's why I rely on coffee. It's great to see you, Pat. Thanks
yes.
for having me on.
See, we're very pro coffee here. Parker, not so much. We're still working to corrupt him and make him a coffee drinker. But the rest of us, we totally get it. So, along with the new duties, they include a newsletter from Courier Newsroom called Below the Beltway, and you can get that at beltway.news and, of course, through couriernewsroom.com. But, Cam, we're going to visit with you now, and then Congress is going on recess. You're going to move to D.C. from Arizona, and then we'll get all this started officially on Tuesdays, starting the day after Labor Day. So let's give a little bit of background first. I know you've been on the show a couple of times before talking about Arizona matters, but how in the world does a nice young man from Arizona end up having a discussion going, hey, you want to move to D.C. and cover the swamp for us?
Well, I'll tell you what, it didn't come easily. A lot of it was born out of necessity. It was something that I saw as a need for Courier, as much as I think our publisher and headquarters felt that with the incoming Trump administration that we were going to see a lot of what we saw during his first term, but magnified. There would be not only attempts by his administration to push the limits of what our laws are and what it means to be a democracy, but news outlets, more traditional ones, mainstream ones, who are more looking for access and increased viewership and to make money off of it than to actually report the news and what's going on. And we've seen that, we have a whole new term for it this time around, sane washing, which is just people's desperate attempt to make these acts of authoritarianism and these, fascist efforts on the streets with our immigration police, try to make those things sound normal and routine and as if it's what we would see no matter what, which it's not. And so that's kind of where the idea was born, is we wanted someone with Courier's mission on the Hill, reporting and giving an opportunity for people to see what's going on at their nation's capital. And so I've been laying the groundwork the past few months as we've been getting prepared to move, and we'll really be able to hit the ground running once Congress comes back in the fall.
So sane washing is the theme of your most recent newsletter edition here. And unfortunately, as disgusting as the entire Jeffrey Epstein matter is, it does give us perhaps the best way to talk about sane washing. Because it's one thing to say, let's take, evangelicals who love to criticize, Joe Biden, even though he went to church faithfully every week, but they think, Donald Trump is like some kind of exemplar who was, sent from above and as a flawed package, et cetera, et cetera. Sane washing is just a way to say, what if the shoe were on the other foot? Would you still be making excuses for this person? And by and large, in the Trump administration, there's been a lot of that, we can excuse this, we can excuse this, we can excuse this. Now we get to this Epstein thing, releasing the files. And now suddenly it's a case of, a lot of Trump supporters going, wait a minute, if the shoe were on the other foot, if Joe Biden or somebody were holding up the Epstein files, we'd be crying bloody murder. And we're crying bloody murder that Donald Trump is not releasing these things. And you see where the sane washing cycle actually does have, it is finite. It actually does have a limit.
Yeah. And I want to say this is probably the first time we've seen this with Donald Trump, honestly, since the Hollywood tapes from his first campaign, where people began to break with him, but then, they didn't in the end. We're seeing an interesting shift and kind of a chasm appear where there's these people like the FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, who essentially built his career on being an Epstein truther, for lack of a better term. And now he's being asked to essentially go against that, to do what he said he would never do and protect the rich and powerful at the expense of the victims of terrible crimes. And a lot of people they can't wrap their heads around that. They have built this persona of someone who, of a president who at all costs, even back in 2020, was, you know, the conspiracy theories were that he was working undercover to unmask these terrible wrongdoers and was a man of the people. And he, if he only had four more years, then he could really, really get in there. And now they're with this, they're seeing the opposite. And I think that to them is insanity, and they can't, that's a bridge too far.
And I think by and large, they are actually seeing through the administration's efforts to change the subject. There was Trump over the weekend playing the race card, going, hey, we need to bring back the Washington football team name and the Cleveland Guardians baseball team. There's the going after, you know, Harvard over and over again. Even yesterday, there was the release of files related to the assassination of Martin Luther King. I mean, they're throwing anything out there to change the subject. And Martin Luther King's daughter puts up a photo of Martin Luther King just kind of looking at the camera, and the caption says, great, now do the same with the Epstein files, you know, after having released the MLK files. You know, folks are understanding this. And so this is what I think the attempts to, like you said, sanewash this are not going to happen this week. And I think what doesn't help is that the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who, let's face it, is not a beloved character. I mean, he seems like a good foot soldier to begin with, but now in saying, well, of course we're for full transparency. We're doing everything possible to give full transparency, when they're actually doing the exact opposite, is just not a good look for a Speaker of the House that many people are already, shall we say, suspicious of.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, he got his position by being, you know, last picked on on the team,
right,
four times over. He's not someone who has the charisma for the job or the ability to politic in the way that previous speakers could, but he's good at following directions and doing what he's told. And so that's what he's been doing. And he has been able to help get through, you know, Trump's the billionaire tax cuts through that budget. He was able to get this rescissions bill to, you know, cut funding for public aid and public broadcasting. And I mean, well, that's about half of the legislation they've passed this year. But he's been able to do that. And so I think that they're just trying to, at this point, lie low and hope that Donald Trump stops talking about Epstein, because honestly, at this point, he keeps bringing it up, and
yes.
And I think that's part of their problem.
You can just see all these folks want to put their finger right on Trump's lips and go, stop talking. We're talking to Cam Stevenson, Courier Newsroom's new Capitol Hill correspondent. His Below the Beltway newsletter can be found at beltway.news. And one other quick story out of there, the way that local residents in some places are pushing back against ICE and the mass deputization of local cops. And we don't have time to get into all the different ways that police departments can work with the Department of Homeland Security and ICE, but you do tell the story of a founder of the group Indivisible Mesa. Her name is Jillian, and you're right, the idea of masked, plainclothes police officers smashing car windows, abducting her neighbors, and seeing friends sent off to internment camps did not sit well with her, and helped start a group that was putting pressure on their local police department. And that seems to be, Cam, the one way that everyday citizens can make a difference is to what degree will their local law enforcement be local law enforcement or a branch office of Trump's secret police?
Yeah. Yeah. Jillian, her story is really, really impressive and amazing. She was, you know, fairly politically inactive in the sense that she was living her life, you know, paying her bills, working a few jobs until November. And then she saw Trump get elected. She wanted to find something to do. And so she found Indivisible, which I imagine a bunch of Indivisibles have, you know, different groups and chapters that popped up throughout Wisconsin and Midwest, yep, as well. Mm-hmm. So she started this group. It's now, you know, 4,000 strong in just a few months. And they've been putting pressure on their city council to have them end partnerships with ICE. And this is something that I've seen and been tracking in different cities across the country. Not just that, but for cities to end or not engage with prison contracts with ICE as well. You know, as the Trump administration is trying to arrest thousands of people every single day, they need a place to put them. And so they're quickly reopening prisons that have closed or you know, starting private prison contracts to open these facilities in different states everywhere in the country. People have been able to successfully push back at the city council level to have those contracts, you know, either canceled or not signed. And so this has just been a very effective way for people to actually oppose these policies in an effective way. Because when it comes down to it, it's all paperwork. And if you can stop that.
And by the way, it's not about like a sanctuary city where they don't enforce things. You can still enforce immigration status on people who have been arrested. There's a big difference between that and helping out on raids, you know, getting again people from housekeeping who've broken no laws and things like that. Cam Stevenson's following all this and Below the Beltway. Find it at beltway.news. And we will talk to you more after Labor Day. Good luck with the move. We'll see you in D.C.
Sounds good, Pat. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Today's history lesson is coming up next, as we always do, mornings here up north, powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh, we're getting kind of a bittersweet start here on today's history lesson with Bobby Sherman, who was born this day in 1943, but passed away less than a month ago at the age of 81. The singer, the teen idol, the TV actor, who later, when he was no longer a teen idol or a singer or an actor, became a paramedic. Liked what he was seeing on TV medical dramas, wanted to do it himself, and had a distinguished career doing that as well. The late Bobby Sherman, born this day, 82 years ago. Another big birthday in rock and roll history, and that, of course, would be Don Henley from the Eagles. He is 78 years old today. Where'd you go, Don?
I told you it was going to be clunky.
There's Don. Don Henley, 78 years old today, born in Gilmer, Texas. And one of the songwriters that I admire most, so much to love about his songwriting, there, of course, is, you know, Sunset Grill, Dirty Laundry, The Boys of Summer. One of my favorites, Garden of Allah. One of those people that if you could have lunch with anybody and just pick their brain, I would love to hear him talk about writing songs. I would not really want to go to lunch with him because I understand he's rather prickly and he'd sit down at the table and go, "What the hell are you doing here?" But if he would just mind talking about songwriting, that would be great.
Nice.
Danny Glover is 79 years old today. Actor Willem Dafoe is 70 years old today. Okay, up next is The Supremes. You keep me hanging on, but not The Supremes. It was on this day in 1967 that the cover, the rock cover of You Keep Me Hanging On, peaked on the Billboard charts. It was done by Vanilla Fudge. Doesn't really have the same sparkle, shall we say, but it did have its niche. It's still there. We're still playing it, you know. 58 years later, peaked at number 67 on the charts this day in 1967. Actor David Spade is 61 years old today. Little Prince George, the Prince of Wales, is 12 years old today. We've got a George Clinton birthday today, and I'll let you guess which one it is. Is it the former Vice President of the United States, or is it the guy from Parliament Funkadelic? Here's a hint. It's this one.
So the president.
I was going to say, so yes, as you can tell, it is the guy who was born in 1739. No, this is George Clinton's 84th birthday today. And yes, coincidentally, this coming Saturday marks the 1739 birth of the other George Clinton, the general turned politician who was America's fourth vice president, serving under two presidents, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison. So a lot of things around you that are named Clinton, you know, Clintonville, Clinton Street, whatever the case may be, quite likely named for George Clinton. But if you want to go ahead and pretend that it was named for the guy from Parliament Funkadelic, you go for it. And you have that dance party.
Whatever floats your boat.
The late Kansas Senator Bob Dole was born this day in 1923. He passed away 4 years ago. A war hero from World War II. Kansas Senator, presidential nominee in 1996 as well. Happy birthday to Supertramp's Rick Davies, who is 81 years old today.
Was it early morning yesterday? I was up before the dawn.
Let's see, this one, every so often I see one in the notes and I realize that Aaron Zommers would put some things in now and then to the notes. And just to remind me, just to keep me in my place. On this day in 2014, Weezer releases Back to the Shack, the lead single from Everything Will Be All Right in the End.
It's and again, very important you know that, Pat.
In cases like this, I never know if Zommers is punking me or not. Emily Saliers from the Indigo Girls is 62 years old today. Selena Gomez turns 33. And I learned, because I watched TMZ, that she had a big birthday party over the weekend, and Tay-Tay was there. Taylor Swift attended.
I'm glad you're keeping up with pop culture.
That's what I know. I don't know Weezer, but I know Selena Gomez had a birthday party.
You know what? That's okay.
I know William Shakespeare's play, The Merchant of Venice, was entered in the Stationer's Register. So it was registered this day in 1598. On this day in 1893, Catherine Lee Bates wrote America the Beautiful after admiring the view from the top of Pikes Peak near Colorado Springs, Colorado. And finally, one more for music. Great Britain on this day in 1956 unveiled its first ever albums chart. And there was an American on top of it. It was Frank Sinatra's Songs for Swingin' Lovers, which featured standards like I've Got You Under My Skin and You Make Me Feel So Young. Let's see. Today on the National Day calendar, we've got casual? Casual Pie Day.
What?
I don't
know. Is there a serious pie day?
Well, it says here the fraction 22 sevenths is an approximate value of pi. And so that's why pi is also celebrated on July 22nd.
Huh. Well, there is a better national day today, Pat, and it's one that I know you can celebrate.
What's that?
National Hammock Day.
Ooh, yes, I'm in. I'm in. And I got to say again, we got a new one this year. We put it on a frame instead of between two trees. And I may never go back. I think I have found the right hammock for me. We had friends stay over the weekend, and the one friend got in there and was like, nope, it was downright claustrophobic, you know,
yeah.
Because it's cloth and it kind of, you know, envelops you when you're in there. But I kind of liked the cocoon sensation.
You're
it's
a cocoon like just, guy, huh?
If I'm cashing out on that hammock, you just leave me alone. Yes. Hey, two more hours as we continue to get rolling on this Tuesday morning, these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.